You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Audio courtesy, a FanDuel. Are we at Code Red? 216-474-0092. That simple. Are we at Code Red right now? Dang, that was an embarrassment. It was another embarrassment.
It was the most recent embarrassment.
Of all the embarrassments we've been through, this was the most recent. It's that simple. 216-474-0092. I kind of want to leave the floor to you here, because this is like, I think that we've talked about it here over these last few days, where it's like, okay, are the Browns problems, are they covering up for the miscues and bad play of the Cleveland Cavaliers? And I think a lot of people are like, yeah, you know, we haven't really paid attention, but there's injuries. Well, you know, there's this. And I got to tell you, I've kind of felt in the same way for a long time, and it's a long season, so you just don't want to be caught saying things you can't take back because it's a long year. The Browns are the Browns are the Browns. It's a short season. There's a lot of things. It's like, man, you kind of plant your flag, you kind of know. But when it comes to the Cavs, baseball's the worst of it. I mean, you can make yourself look like a true ass during baseball season. However, it's not about looking bad. It's about telling the truth of it. And what's the truth of it is that it's uninspired basketball. It's sloppy. DeAndre Hunter, you said it right before the show. How does he look?
He looks like he is disengaged.
Yes. Checked out, if you will.
Yes. And then what? He got benched? Like, he got news of his benching yesterday?
And Jalen Tyson, I like Jalen Tyson a lot. And a lot of people were wondering. I had a tweet about Jalen Tyson a couple days ago. It's like, hey, man, he's tough. I like his skills. He's come along very nicely for this team. He's doing the things that you wanted for other guys that you had to jettison before that you weren't able to get out of it. And a lot of the question was, well, does that make DeAndre Hunter expendable? And I'm like, yeah, I think in so many ways.
Here's the problem. I thought about this on my way in. The problem is Jalen Tyson has been a triumph. He has been awesome. He's a two-way player. He's got some athleticism. He's got some more range than they've had in a long time. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. You just added Jalen Tyson to the team that won 66 games last year. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, Yeah, the problem is he's our third best player. And Oklahoma City has like nine guys better than Jalen Tyson. So that should tell you all you need to know about the Knicks. The Knicks have like eight better players than Jalen
right
Tyson.
There. I got to stop you right there. Oklahoma City, that conversation is off.
You're right. It's
off the shelf. Yeah. There's no Oklahoma City conversation yet until we're talking about flipping switches at some point here. The Knicks, I guess you can talk about the Knicks because they're in the East if you really want to. But really, we got to talk about our own problems getting out of our own way. And I can blame it on injuries. I could try. I mean, Evan Mobley's hurt. Okay. Darius is playing through it. Well, apparently Darius is going to play through it the entire year or his entire career,
and you can see,
Brad Doherty.
And you,
so,
yeah, and you could see last night what that looks like, which is there are moments where you're like, oh, that looks like Darius Garland. Couple nice dribble moves. Gets to a spot. Hits a three. Oh, nice no-look pass. Being unselfish. Hey, that was nice. And then I watch the other 25 minutes, and it's him not getting back on defense, not providing any resistance because he has to choose. He has to pick and choose his spots. How is that going to work in the playoffs?
Not.
That's not going to work. Guys, he's just going to get... The Charlotte Hornets picked on Darius Garland for the entirety of the game. Well, what do you think the good teams are going to do?
They'll pick on him for the entirety of the game.
And they can make him pay even more so than the Charlotte Hornets or the Bulls last night. I mean, again...
Well, it sounds to me like you're at code red.
I am.
We are at code red.
Last night. So again, where's our advantage?
Sound the alarms on.
Where, especially with Mobley out, where's the Cavs' advantage? Where is it? The backcourt. Supposed to be. Right?
Okay.
Two max guys. Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland.
You said the advantage. I took it literally. I'm like, I didn't know you were talking philosophical there because I'm like, what advantage? I don't know.
Well, what... The backcourt for the Chicago Bulls, Josh Giddey and Coby White. You totally got outplayed by them. And so if your advantage is getting outplayed game to game, you got no shot. And the Cavs brass knows this. The decision makers know this. What do you think Dan Gilbert, who is, I saw it last year in the playoffs. He is active again. He is going to the games. He's paying attention big time. He's going to be somebody that in the first LeBron iteration, like, do you remember how hands-on Dan Gilbert was? And then over time, when LeBron came back, it was like, hey, that's the deal. You come back, I'm stepping away. And then he had to manage, you know, his situation, and so he stepped away completely. Well, he's back. How do you think Dan Gilbert is watching these games, feeling about the most expensive roster in the NBA?
Not good.
That is functioning in the... Quote unquote, second apron.
Yeah, you know, when we lose more, it just becomes so stark where it's not like, oh, they're an expensive roster. No, they're the most expensive roster in the NBA. You are the Mets of the NBA right now. You've spent a lot of money, and you're not doing what you're supposed to do.
I think if you add in the tax, I saw a number.
If you add in the tax,
they're spending $390 million this year.
392, I thought was the number. 394.
Oh my God, 392. The Browns cap liability was 303. They've gone $90 million over that. The dome is $2.4 billion. So if the Cavs spent this over the next 8 years, that's a dome?
Seven years. On a roster size of what, 12?
Yes.
The Browns at least are getting 50-something guys out of the bill.
Ask Stan Van Gundy. That's why we didn't win the cup. We got no hungry guys at the end of the bench who aren't making any money.
Right. Yeah, they're making too much.
That's why we didn't compete in the cup.
Maybe next year.
Didn't have anybody in the soup line begging for breadcrumbs. Damn it. That's why we can't raise a banner for the cup. Got to get it everything we can before we put it away, man.
I don't want to put it away. That's the problem.
I'm going to keep referencing the cup. If they're going to play basketball like this, I'm going to reference the cup a whole bunch so we can have some fun.
Can Surfside sponsor the cup segment?
Ladies and gentlemen, at your Cavs Surfside update brought to you by Surfside. The wonderful people at Surfside ask you to please enjoy responsibly. Cup.
So they've got the worst bench in the league statistically.
I'm going to miss that thing.
I think they're one of the worst three-point shooting teams, even though they're shooting the most. I get that. Some of that will improve, definitely, when they get Max Strus and Sam Merrill. But if the answer to your question
is Strus, Moose, and Sam Merrill, then you are not in a good place.
You're not in a good spot at all. You're not.
Donovan Mitchell was asked about it. Where the hell's that sheet? This is professional. Donovan Mitchell was asked about it. What are the Cavs lacking? And here is what his response is.
There's consistency. And the worst part is that it's there in spurts. I'd rather not be there at all, to be honest. And I think that's what's tough. Being down in the fourth, and then we decided to flip the switch. So I think it's the level of consistency. I think it's the biggest thing.
Could you blame it on the lineups? Because that turns into a blame on injuries. Can you do that?
I feel like
consistency. They, I mean, you've had Kenny, how many different lineups have they had?
Kenny,
they had
a,
like
100.
Over a, yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like there's enough talent on this team to beat the Bulls last night. There's enough talent to beat that. I mean, I'm going to stick with this game the rest of the year. That Golden State game with that fans paid primo prices for, that had no Draymond, no Steph, no Jimmy Butler, and a lacrosse standout. And the lacrosse standout kicked your ass for 35 minutes, 40 minutes.
Pat, what's his name?
Pat Spencer.
Pat Spencer.
Whose brother was really good, too. And he's on Memphis. Two lacrosse players are just dominating the NBA this year. Do we have to do our power rankings on best
Wait,
athletes?
They didn't play basketball at Wisconsin lacrosse? They're actual lacrosse players?
That would have made sense. Do we have to power rank the level of athlete? I always had NBA number one. Does this prove that lacrosse now? Because they're Might setting well. Their lacrosse players and they're taking over the NBA?
Number one. Darts.
Did you see what happened? Number there was two. A dart incident recently.
No.
They didn't turn their darts at each other.
Thank heavens.
It's a dart incident
recently.
Because I think
responsible dart players know that their dart throwing hand has to be registered as a weapon.
Anywho, it was the worst power ranking we've ever done. And that's saying something.
Well, we're getting ready to power rank those.
Do I have to do a chart? On the worst power rankings?
No.
That's where we're at. Kenny, as the afternoon show would say, we're down bad. We are officially down bad on the Cleveland Cavs.
216-474-0092.
Don't crash out on me, Ken.
Jeff in Lakewood, you're next up on the fan. Hello.
What's going on?
Hi, Jeff.
All right. Yeah, great point, man. I was I'm on Cavs Nation, man. And like Lyman said, I'm just telling them, man, this is a broken team, man. This team is broken. Like you said, unexpired, man. All you got to do is just watch them play. All you got to do is just watch them play, man. They just uninspired, man. There's so many guys not playing good. And I don't want to try to keep getting down on Kenny Atkinson, man. He one of the biggest problems, man. Because you got guys coming down shooting threes. Chicago coming down shooting threes. They walk you down. You steady shooting threes. You're not running no plays. You're not playing with no passion and no heart, no gut, man. You know what I'm saying? And we got to stop using excuses for the
team. Do you think that Atkinson is the biggest problem, though?
Atkinson one is the problem, man. This guy, they take on the image of him, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't put all the blame on him, man. He cannot get through this team, man. You could just see it, man.
Wait a minute, he was the coach of the year like 8 months,
We're the city of coaches of the
year. He was the coach of the year, but that was last year, man. You know what I'm saying? They got him to try to take him to the next level. He ain't doing no better than
could he have done to go from coach of the year and everybody loves him
maybe telling,
to now he's trash?
Maybe telling Lonzo Ball to not have the green light for perpetuity?
I think they're trying to find offense anywhere because you had Evan Mobley every time he got the ball, it was a pose off. Like he was doing the robot because he was unsure to do what he was doing. He was unsure to do what he needed to do with the ball at the time, which I know that looked ridiculous what I just did on YouTube, but it was, you got a robotic guy who you're trying to get going, and so you got to have some scoring from somewhere. So, yeah. And by the way, Lonzo, you pick him up, he can't drive the lane. You've said that before. He can't dribble because his knees are going to explode.
Catch
and shoot if he gets the ball.
Did you see last night, Jeff, did you see last night that Lonzo got to the rim and didn't even look at the rim? One of the few times he's
at
the rim.
At the rim.
He threw it out to the three-point line.
Lima, say it again. He's right at the rim. I said he at the rim. He didn't even look at it.
Because he can't move. He can't move.
Another thing, I promise you, Dan Gilbert going to put his foot down. Because you can't, like Ken Carmen said, you cannot, man, continue to use injuries as an excuse, man. The effort, this team is broken and fractured, man.
But I'll tell you this, Jeff. When you fired J.B. Bickerstaff, it's like, okay, This happens in the NBA. Exactly. And I'm not trying to even use what JB's doing up in Detroit as an example. I know the Pistons are doing really well, right? But right. You get a mulligan with a coach. And when you let go of the coach, and then we're talking about getting rid of the next coach, I'm going, well, no, hold on here. Are we just going to fire coaches? Because they do that in the NBA all the time. Now, but
exactly.
Now I have to look at the players and go, what are you guys doing for this? And then I got to look above and go, and you know, who put the roster together? It wasn't Kenny Atkinson.
And you know, one last point. In Lyman, you do the Cavs on the playoff post game you did last year.
Five games that they had.
Yeah, I know. Look. This Christmas, when the Cavs play New York gonna blow them clean out the gym. And I'm telling you, watch this Christmas. And then you're gonna say the fans, they're gonna say
next Thursday, Jeff.
Oh, I have that to get excited about.
That's
Christmas Day spectacular.
They're gonna blow them out the gym Christmas. They're gonna blow them out the
gym. Thank God I have a family now.
Jeff, thank you for the call.
Thank God I have a family.
What time's that game?
Do you know how sad noon. It's noon. Do you know how sad noon Christmas watching the Cavs would be getting slaughtered by the Knicks if I didn't have a family,
I
Kenny?
Think you would love it if you didn't have a family. You would sit there and drink your bourbon, and that's all you would do. You would love. You wouldn't even care if they were getting hammered.
No, I'd be making my five stops. Instead of a bar crawl, I do a family crawl. I used to do that.
You ain't going to hit me. Aunt Buzz ain't walking through that door.
R.I.P.
Uncle Johnny ain't walking through that door anymore.
See, we got a lot of new people to the show, so they don't know what this used to be
like. Lima used to go to Aunt Buzz's house for Christmas.
Well, that would be the first stop.
And then
it would be, where are the fun parties?
Oh, God. Yeah, you got to stay married. I'm sure Jim doesn't want you walking through his door. Here comes Tone. Here comes the fun.
He's got to paint those rocks.
Here you go, dear. Here's another rock. Now, where's the drinks?
That's not a bad gift.
You gave her a pet rock.
That you paint, and it comes with paint.
It's a terrible gift.
You can paint it however you want.
You can paint anything with paint. Don't give her rocks.
You can go out back and get more rocks when you've painted the rocks that have been supplied. So it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Cavs are going to make me watch the NFL on Christmas, and I don't want to do it. Because I'm telling you right now, if they start getting hammered, I'm not going to stay there. I'm not going to put myself through the hell of it. I'm not going to hear my family members say it, and I'm just going to go, you know what? How about Washington and Dallas? Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. That's what I'm going to do. I'm in a bad mood, and then I get to go watch Dallas. Great. Christmas sucks today, this year.
We're not even going to get snow, are we?
Nope. It's going to be 40, and it's going to be 45. All this
hoth
that you've
out.
Already dealt with.
It's going to be gross.
It's just going to be wet and gross out.
Muddy.
And the Cavs are going to be like garbage against the Knicks. Oh, my God. Spike Lee's going to be out there probably in his Christmas tassels, Knicks stuff.
Oh, it's going to Christmas this is gonna tassels.
It's going to be terrible. Terrible Christmas. Horrific. Enjoy that, Mason. It's the rest of your life, bud.
Is it going to be Johnny Bryant's team by then?
We'll talk about it with Joe Varden at 9. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima. Are you already
code red? You can't fire somebody on Christmas,
you're
right?
Hearing, you damn sure can. Damn sure can. I mean, if Bob Cratchit wouldn't have showed up, if there weren't three ghosts that showed up on Christmas Eve, Bob Cratchit's ass was getting fired. Well, that was the day after Christmas because he was late. You remember?
If Dan Gilbert brings a stocking in for Kenny Atkinson, says, open it up.
Somebody, real quick, I know we're already over. There. I'm sorry about this. Did you know somebody did a like breakdown of what Bob Cratchit made? And they were like, actually, Bob Cratchit does really well. Somebody did a breakdown of what Bob Cratchit made on YouTube. Now, I believe everything I see on YouTube, obviously. But they were like, yeah, Bob Cratchit makes a lot of money. Fine living.
He does that well.
Yeah. All right. Are we overreacting? Did Jeff and Lakewood overreact? I'm going to get to you guys, 216-474-0092. Or is it code red? And who do you think needs an answer for this? Because I can only use Kenny Atkinson as an excuse so many times. I can only use coaches as an excuse so many times.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm officially pissed about the Cavs. I can say it.
Okay.
They've really gotten such a Peterlin pass for me.
The Peterlin pass.
Because I've had so much rage towards the Browns. You shouldn't lose to the Bulls. I'm sorry.
It's a really bad Bulls team.
After losing to the Hornets, and by the way, some of these teams have nice young players. They're not good teams.
They're not good teams.
None of them are.
No.
And I just, this is more than injuries. And anyone that says anything, you just, like, at some point you have to confront the reality. And I don't know that Kobe will. I don't know that Dan will. I don't know Kenny Atkinson will. They've been saying the same damn thing for 2 months, 2+ months. Nothing is changing. I think it's totally fine if you want to panic about the Cavs, because I don't know they're going anywhere this year.
Oh, they're just, I mean, that's it?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, one, Evan's not coming back for a month, so that's a problem.
Yeah.
Who the hell knows when Strus is coming back? Who the hell knows when? And but I've heard one theory is, well, the Cavs want to see what they have when they're 100%. So 3 years from now? Darius is clearly not healthy.
He's constantly injured. There's, like, no denying that.
Even when he's playing right now, he's not healthy. Like, this is, it's 4 years in and we're treating it like it's, you know, the first year and they're, no, these guys know who they are. They know what they like. They know what they don't like. Like, come on, let's get serious about chasing a championship here.
I do wonder if we've overrated even the apex of this team in general anyway. You know, like the idea that I think for a while it felt like the assumption was at their best, this is a championship caliber team. And maybe we should have just been questioning that the entire time, too, though.
I think that's totally fair. Yeah, I think it's fine to finally go, all right, the roster construction is just too wonky.
And it just bit you in the ass finally.
And honestly, I think it's fine to also say you have too many nice guys. I think it is. I think those two things matter. You need to have a couple guys out there who aren't afraid to be badasses and stir bleep. And I'm not trying to say I want Dylan Brooks here, because that guy annoys the crap out of me. He's just the most out of touch human being in the world. But, like, yeah, you don't have a Draymond Green. Jared Allen's too nice being nerdy and just like, just being nice. Evan Mobley doesn't have that dog in him. Donovan Mitchell does, but that's not enough.
It sounds like the Will Wade line from last night where he's like, it's great if you're running a daycare center, but we need players that actually do something more than that.
I kind of feel Will Wade-y today, minus the corruption.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can always bring that into your life if you want.
I mean, if it helped with a little more money, I'd do it. I can be bought. I've said that. My soul is, I would say, affordable.
So, like, last year, remember, the Pacers were basically a 500 team right around this part of the season. Like, there's so much left in the season. I find it interesting who is already abandoning ship or who is interested in the idea that this team is topped out at where they can go. It's so much of this team, if you just look at some of the stats and the numbers attached to it, is just they just don't hit the three ball at the same rate that they did last year.
So to me, it's funny. Like, I can tolerate the offense not being great because I think there's a built-in excuse. You're without, three of your best shooters? And I do include Darius not being there yet because he's not there yet. He's not playing like Darius. He's not shooting like Darius. He's out there, but he's not out there. I can give you a pass on the offense. I can give you a pass on several other things plaguing this team. The turnovers. I can give it all, right? If you can't play hard and you can't play together, I'm not. The whole buy-in in the first place, the whole thing behind Cavalanches and so much of the fun of not just the first 3 years with Donovan, but the years that we had where Darius was developing and Kevin Love had his resurgence and he had Lauri Markkanen and you have Evan Mobley. The whole point on why those were fun guys is they always played hard and they always played together. I can stomach a lot. Clearly, I have a gigantic stomach. I can stomach a lot. I can't stomach a team full of NBA vets who cannot be bothered to play hard or play together on any given night. That, to me, it's a non-negotiable.
I know, but it's funny because you really can just dial this all down to as simple as they're just not hitting the three-pointer the way they were last year. And when you go from being one of the better three-point shooters in the league to now they're 29th in the NBA as far as three-point percentage, like it really is, it's as simple as that. Now, yes, a lot of that is based off of what you're describing, right? Like being able to play together basketball, being able to, like, think about last year when you watched these games, the ball movement that existed to then get to the right three-point shot to then make it. And like these things have just kind of, they've just kind of disappeared. And it's very thin in the NBA going from where they were to where they are now.
I think some of the three-point numbers being down, I also think it's they're not prepared to play up-tempo pace. Like, granted, they played with decent pace last year, but the whole point of this offseason is we're going to play faster. We're going to hang with the fastest teams in the NBA. And I think we have the conclusive proof to say they don't have the dogs to do it. And again, I still think, could they come back? Could they get healthy? Could they finagle their way into a top four seed? Sure. They're not winning as constructed. I think we're there. I think this team has limitations that have to do with how they're constructed, and that includes size issues, fit issues, and personality issues. And my fear is that this season, because I'm saying it, I think it should still happen. I still think it's more likely they'll put something together and be somewhat interesting. My fear, though, is this is the kind of season that sows real discontent, like where there was always creative tension previously, but they found a way around it because they like each other. And those things do go away in the NBA in the midst of a bad season, and sometimes that can break things beyond repair.
Well, listen, everything's easier when you're having success, right? And when you're not having success, it just becomes really easy to then be like, wait, what are we doing here? And like the Cavs are on that path right now. My fear is that you end up you take this almost like a walk in the park, you never get this turned around, and then you wake up and you're a seventh seed, and your first round matchup is the Knicks, and you don't have a chance.
My fear, so
a real possibility that happens.
My fear is very close to yours. My fear is that you massively mistimed everybody's window and who was in the window and who wasn't. And 2 years from now, Donovan's no longer Donovan. Jarrett's no longer Jarrett. Evan and Darius might kind of be ready to step up into their roles, but maybe not. And now all of a sudden you're saddled with Donovan's latest contract. And now you're stuck in salary cap hell. Like, I think the time thing and how old Donovan is, and even Jarrett's a little bit older, I think comparing them and everybody else in this roster, I think you have to choose. And I think if you choose Donovan and Evan, I think that's splitting the baby. I think you're trying to do both things. I know. I think you need to be concise. I think you need to have some guts, the same way that it took guts to take Donovan. The same way it took guts to stick with Darius over Colin Sexton for a minute. That was a hot debate. Like, to get where you are now is a lot of like gut check moments. I think that's where you are again. And here's the thing. I think it's tricky enough that there's enough dynamic at play. I don't know they're landing the plane on this one when they choose between who else is on their roster.
I don't know. I mean, it just doesn't seem like Kobe Altman's going to do that this year. I'm open to the idea of being surprised, but like, he is, if anybody stay committed to the two bigs and two guard setup, it's been him. And like, you would have thought last year would have been enough to prove it. Like, hey, maybe you need to do something. But when Garland gets injured and goes down and then makes the claim that if he wasn't injured, you'd win a title, a lot of people were like, all right, run it back one more time. I don't know that by the deadline this year, he'll say, all right, this has failed. I think he'll take this through to the end of the season.
I think you're right. And I think my concern is if you wait till the end of the season and you wait till the offseason, I think some values are going to be down.
And the values are already down in an interesting way. Like, if we're talking about like Garland, for instance, it's way down.
I think it could be worse. I think it could be worse. I think the longer Darius struggles, I don't think the value is suddenly rebounding, even if he has 20 good games at the end of the season. And again, if you ask me right now, what's the right way out of this? I don't know. I would honestly say choose between Donovan and Darius and choose properly, and then choose between Evan and Jarrett and choose properly. But I don't know what the right moves are.
I mean, if you choose like Darius and Evan, for instance, if you trade Donovan, I think that's a massive mistake.
I don't know.
I don't think you have a team if you trade Donovan right now.
Here's the thing. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying I don't know, because I don't think Donovan and Evan's timeline, I don't think they fit up.
Well, so if you trade Donovan, is the idea then that you'd be playing for, because you'd be waving the white flag on what this year would be as far as any sort of contention. And I get the argument in return is they're already kind of doing that right now anyway by their lack of play. But if you trade Donovan right now, I mean, you need Evan to then be awesome and take another step forward. And then Darius all of a sudden find the fountain of youth and be healthy in the process. Like, that to me feels like you're going to be you'll be a 7-6 seed for the next 3 years at best.
You just didn't want to say it, you coward. I think if you trade Donovan, then you have to trade Jarrett. They, you can't trade them together because of the way the salary cap works, but hear me out on this. I think if you trade Donovan, you trade Jarrett, and then you say, Evan, you're the starting center, figure it out. You're the focal point. You basically just
I get what you're saying. I don't trust that at all, though.
It's a total risk. You're 100% right. It's a total risk.
Like, Donovan's your best player. Without Donovan, this team is so bad. There's so many nights. Again, even last night, it was a futile effort. But like, Donovan's the only one doing anything on a consistent basis on this team.
I think this goes back to when LeBron would take over games. And you would say, well, that was good for tonight, but I don't know how good that is long term. Yeah, but you were still winning those games. I'm not trying to endorse trading Donovan. I think the problems right now, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but the problems right now for the Cavs are pretty obvious to me. One, they're not hitting their 3-point shots anywhere close to where they were last year, and they don't have a bench. Last year, they had one of the best benches in the NBA. This year, they just don't have a bench. It's the reason why DeAndre Hunter started coming off the bench last night, because they had to try to infuse something in that back end. And I know we laugh like, oh, did Ty Jerome really mean that much? Ty Jerome, Okoro, those guys being swapped out for like Lonzo Ball and Larry Nance has mattered. They just don't have it. In the regular season, you need a bench. The Cavs always had one. You also need to hit threes. The Cavs have not been able to do that. Like, it's as simple as that. But like, getting rid of Donovan in the process is just, you're destined not to win anything if you do that.
I think you might be destined not to win anything anyway.
And that might be the reality, but I'd rather have them go down fighting at least. But again, you can make the argument that this isn't fighting right now. So
I think it depends on what you could get. And I understand that that's a bigger sticky. I guess my thing is, I think, and I don't know if it's real or not, but Evan Sidery put out that the only two untouchables for the Cavs are Donovan and Evan. And I don't think that should be the case. I think the Cavs should be very open-minded right now, and I think they should look at this and wonder, and I don't know they have to come to the right conclusion that I might agree with. I think it's time to ask yourself, have we peaked as a team, and is this the right moment to pivot? And what does that pivot look like? How severe should that pivot? I think you're also right that I don't think Kobe's going to do a darn thing about it.
No.
Because this is his baby. This is his whoopee.
Yep.
And I totally get that. I'm not here to fire another coach because the moves you've put off for 3 years, the chickens have finally come home to roost.
Well, that's where we're headed. If we're going to have another fall guy out of this whole ordeal, it seems like Atkinson is being lined up front and center.
We'll get to that because I think there's some interesting, there's, There's a reason why it might make sense with Atkinson, and then there's a reason why it might not make sense with Atkinson. 216-474-0092. Are you finally in panic mode with the Cavaliers? I'm done with it. This is unexplainable. These are veterans. This is not a young team. They know how to compete. I will stand by as you jack up 40 shots a game from three and don't make them. I will. If you have defensive breakdowns because you have two undersized guards, I can live with that. I cannot live with, nor can I condone or endorse, every single night going out there and you can't be bothered to show up and play against Chicago. You shouldn't need a bench to beat Chicago. You should need two of your three best players on any given night to beat Chicago, Charlotte, any of the crap teams in this damn NBA. The quarterback Deadpool in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Talk sports with guys in the know.
It's embarrassing. I mean, are they not embarrassed?
It's time for Baskin and Phelps. Cleveland's sports radio. 92.3 The Fan.
It's coordinator day in Berea. Coordinator day. Dan Menigan's favorite day of the week. Coordinators are going to speak. When they say riveting things, we might play some of them for you. In the meantime, we're going to tackle the woes of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. Menigan's in for Baskin today.
Sir?
The woes of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Are you stunned we're even saying that at this time?
Last night was ugly. Last night, there have been a couple of games, probably the last three, that have, this is going to sound so bad, sound like a cry for help. And I feel like last night was the accumulation of those cries for help. I mean, when you give up that many points to the Hornets, then you almost lose to the Wizards. missing their top three players on top of that with the Wizards. The Hornets, the same deal. Didn't have LaMelo Ball, didn't have Colin Sexton. Then you go into Chicago and lose that game. Like,
Chicago.
This is a cry for help. Something is amiss with the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. And we got to troubleshoot this thing and come to some kind of a conclusion, because if you're going to play like this right now, what is that going to look like? Heck, are you even going to have a May to play into if you play like this?
May means you've advanced in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the Cavs are sitting ninth in the Eastern Conference. They're 15-13. Ninth. Now, yesterday we talked about it a little bit as they're coming back, you know, coming back from their cup break. And I said there's nothing to really worry about. I still think that. However, this doesn't look as seamless as it looked last year. It doesn't look like it's clicking. There have been guys in and out of the lineup so much, I don't know that they've had a chance to really kind of get things going. But that's an excuse. Last year, they played well when guys were out of the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter who was out of the lineup. And right now, I mean, think about this. Detroit, New York, Toronto, Boston, Orlando, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Miami. All ahead of the Cavaliers. All ahead of the Cavaliers. That's, again, if you get to April and you're playing good ball, okay, fine. But you've got a lot of factors sitting here with this basketball team that don't add up very well. Number one, lots of guys have been in and out. Evan Mobley's out now. Darius Garland's missed serious time. DeAndre Hunter's not playing probably as well as you'd like him to. Kenny Atkinson made a move last night. He's going to be coming off the bench. Maybe that's his best role for this team.
When he first became a Cavalier, that's what he said. He goes, I like coming off the bench. I like being that instant offense. I like being that energy off the bench. It better suits my role.
Well, when he got here, he said that.
Right.
Most players will tell you they want to start. And yeah. My guess is he still wanted to start. But coming in after coming off the bench in Atlanta, okay, that worked.
But some guys are built that way. I mean, Manu Ginobili made a career out of it and made the Hall of Fame.
Right. So did Kevin McHale.
Right. Kevin McHale was the same way.
However, I don't think that's DeAndre Hunter. It was last year, but I don't know if that's him all the way around. I like Jalen Tyson. Glad he moved into the starting lineup. I just think you're limited, Dano, in what you're able to do because you're spending more money than any team in the league. And you're not going to be able to, there are all kinds of restrictions. Basically, it boils down to you have to trade a player for a player with a similar salary. Is that correct? The way they are in this second apron?
So with this second apron, you are not allowed to package players together.
And the Cavs are the only team in it in the NBA.
You can only make one-for-one trades. And with those one-for-one trades, you have to trade for someone who makes less money than the player you're trading out. So, like, we can't live in this world where it's, oh, yeah, it's a one-for-one trade. Donovan Mitchell for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Boom. Well, Giannis makes more money than Donovan Mitchell. So, therefore, that trade would not work.
So, the other team would have to really like who you're giving up.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you probably take less in value in return.
Probably so. Because I think the smart move of the team right now, if you're looking for external options, would be to make one of those trades where we all look at it and go, oh, you got nothing. Would be DeAndre Hunter for someone cheap or Darius Garland for someone cheap.
But what does that do for you other than bust up the mix?
Bust up the mix, but gives you the opportunity to add somebody else. It would be one of those, like, I'm doing this in the short term for the benefit of the long term type of situations. Yeah. But you tick off your fan base in the middle of that if you don't have that right around the corner.
We've heard a lot of rumbling, you know, that this guy should play, that guy should play, other guys should play, blah, blah, blah. Craig Porter Jr. has been very impactful.
He's looked good.
When he has played. That's good. Not so much last night, but he's only playing 18 minutes. I've heard people scream, you should be playing Craig Porter instead of Darius Garland. No, you probably shouldn't. You shouldn't. Darius is a much better NBA player. But again, it gets back to the mix and the fit. The problem with Craig Porter, if you're going to do that, Craig Porter is also a small guard. And I love the idea of Tyson maybe playing guard with Donovan maybe on the point. But I've made my thoughts on the mix and the fit on this team clear for a really long time. The minute they traded for Donovan, it was,
yeah,
you have the two small guards, and that's a really tough, it can be done, but that's a really tough way to win big. Really tough way to win big. They did last year in the regular season, but that's not enough for them. And I understand that. I just wonder, how long do you ride this? This, and I say this as in this group of guys, especially considering, as you just laid out, if you want to do anything to change it, you got to do something huge, but you're limited in your ability to do something huge.
The other one that I know a lot of people would point to would be moving on from Jared Allen, which I know you don't like the idea of doing. Mm-hmm. I'm not head over heels about the idea, but you've kind of backed into a corner where you're going to need to do something drastic. And the thing I will say of Jared Allen, he was out there last night. The Bulls shot 78% from the paint. They went 29 of 37. Not exactly a team known for their ability to put up boatloads of points with the paint due to insane athleticism. This team has a defensive problem to go with their rebounding problem. And typically they would tell you defense is more hustle than anything else. That your way to kind of fix defense is not exactly schematically. It's more like, okay, pick up the tempo, pick up the pace, pick up the level of care. And that's what needs to change first with this team if they want to turn it around. You watch that game yesterday, the defense was poor. And you let a team just completely get to the cup again and again and again. Well,
they scored 127 points.
Yeah.
The Bulls did.
On the off end.
It's a lot of points.
So right there, you immediately want to look at your two big guys and Evan Mobley and Jared Allen and go, guys, what's going on here? Now, Evan Mobley did not play. Thomas Bryant was out there. But
and Evan Mobley, now keep in mind, you're talking about the paint. It's not up to just one guy to defend the paint.
Correct.
It's up to the guards to defend on the perimeter to keep other guards from getting in the paint. And that's a key part of this. And Evan Mobley was the defensive player of the year last year. So I'm not giving, I don't mean to give Jared Allen a pass on this. You know, could he play better? Sure. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Evan's the defense player of the year. He's a key part of this. And a big part of paint points is guards not playing defense on the perimeter and guards getting into the paint.
Good point. That's a good point.
And that's been one of the issues with this team when they roll out Darius and Donovan.
It's that help defense, and everybody has a little bit more that they gotta help out with. They got to make those rotations. They got to do all those different things to cover for the fact that... And Donovan Mitchell's a good defender. Darius Garland is an average defender. You know, his height and kind of build and that stuff make it a little bit tougher when he goes against bigger guys. But that's the first thing that has to get fixed for this team to start turning this around.
And I mean, think about last night. Kobe White took a while for his NBA career to kind of find itself, but he's done a nice job. He's 6'4". He's in the backcourt. Josh Giddey, running the point, he's 6'7". You got 6'4 and 6'7 in the backcourt. That's a tough matchup for the Cavs defensively. They're with the guys that they want to play, they're not built for that. And again, it's this mix of players. Is it the right mix? Folks, I'd love your thoughts. Do you think this is the right mix of guys? Last year, it certainly looked that way in the regular season. This year in the regular season, it doesn't look like it's the right mix because it's not playing very well right now. Doesn't mean it won't down the road. Doesn't mean they won't figure it out in March and April. But if they couldn't figure it out in last year's playoffs, and I know there were injuries and Darius had the toe injury and all that, but is this the right mix or should they try to do something drastic? I don't know that they should, Dan. And I don't know that they can. I think the last thing this team needs to trade away is size, because I don't think it's a very big team.
You would have to get creative. And I know that's not what anybody wants to hear. And so by that, I mean you would have to... I wonder if you need to unload either DeAndre Hunter or Jared Allen or Darius Garland for a young player with some level of upside to a team that's not going anywhere. Or a veteran...
And the team thinks, for instance, if they got Darius Garland, okay, we have our guy to build around?
Oh, I just had a diabolical thought.
Diabolical's a great word.
I know
that's
somebody else's bit, and I apologize. I don't mean to steal that from the morning show. It just popped into my head. What if you call the Kings and went and got Russell Westbrook for a one-year deal? You could bring in somebody who would help you immediately.
And trade what for him?
Darius Garland. And what that would do is that would get you under that second apron, and you would bring in somebody who would help you on a one-year deal. So then that way you could turn around and maybe make another deal to help this roster a little bit more.
In other words, by getting rid of one guy and getting under the apron, it allows you to make more moves.
Yes. And I have no that just popped into my head because I know the Kings are in a position where they want to make moves and sell a couple guys off. Maybe it's a two-part trade where you get under initially, and then the second trade has, I don't know, Domantas Sabonis in it, because I know they want to have that conversation as well. Now, I don't know how you would make that happen. Again, I'm doing this on the fly because it just popped into my head. But that's the kind of move that you would have to do if you're looking at the landscape of the league and thinking, all right, I need to get more talent on this roster that is of varying sizes instead of having the two small guard backcourt. Or you could say maybe DeAndre Hunter for a similar idea, but I know you don't want to move on from DeAndre Hunter and you don't want to move on from Jared Allen.
Like, I'm not trying to get overly defensive of Kenny Atkinson. If he is the problem, I want to know more. But you fired JB, and I've always kind of felt bad about JB because I think when we know that a coach is about to get let go, we try to find problems with him. So, like, I remember the timeouts were a problem, plays after a timeout, the sets that they ran after timeouts were problems. There was a lot of things that I don't want to say we made up, but it's almost like you put too much on him. And there's things that when we talk about the Bronze, it's like, hey, it ran its course. It might have ran its course with JB. Did it run its course with Kevin Stefanski? We've talked about it a bunch. I don't think it's ran its course with Kenny Atkinson, though, guys. Owen?
Well, I had a... I think we all kind of came to the conclusion it was time to move on from JB Bickerstaff at the time. The only reason I was really ready for it is because the Cavs, Kobe Altman, and Anthony Lima, they all told me that the roster's good. We don't need to change the roster. So obviously we needed to change something, and that was the coach, right? Well, we changed the coach, and it doesn't seem that it's gotten any better, and we still haven't changed anything to the roster, really, other than not bringing back Ty Jerome, which I guess, you know.
That should not have been the linchpin for the entire season.
No. So what now, right? We're stuck in it now, and we can't get out of it. We're tires in mud that have lost their traction.
He's got a great point. Like, this is why I have to look higher than Kenny Atkinson. I mean, you go ahead, fire Kenny Atkinson if you really want to start talking crazy. I think you'll probably still have, there will probably be a kumbaya and some things would start well, but then I think you'd still have the same problems rearing their ugly head. But he's right. You know, there were people, when we were over there in that studio and they were redoing this, you remember some of the conversations we were having about the core four and breaking up the core four. And I remember when Kobe's like, you know, they're keeping the core four and everything was fine. And that was a time where you really could make a move. Now it's like you're stuck. Like Jared Allen, like I know everybody's like, we got to trade Jared Allen. They can't stand. You're not going to get any value back at Jared Allen at all. He still is better than his contract. So you're going to get less. You can make the money work with Jared, but you're going to get lesser players.
Yeah, you'd be taking a bath on a Darius Garland trade at this point too. I know I saw stories out there that there are some NBA teams that think he could be their best player. And I'm like, who's putting that out there? His agent? Like, no teams think Darius Garland is their best player, especially now.
Anymore.
Right. Especially,
he's a good player, but good guy.
Especially now with the injury and knowing that this is something that could plague him for not only this year, but beyond. By the way, I do have it here. And as far as the talent goes,
please,
Owen,
please.
The core four, the one thing I did think was, like, as much as I was openly talking about, hey, could we trade for Brandon Ingram? Would it make sense to move Garland for a wing that can get his shots off in the playoffs? And Brandon Ingram's having a really good year, by the way, for an overperforming Toronto Raptors team. I didn't think this would cost them in the regular season. Like, I thought the core four would, at the very least, win a ton of games in a regular season.
I agree with you. Jimmy Butler came up last year, and then they traded him, or, you know, whatever happened with him in the Heat, and now he's in Golden State. But I really wanted Jimmy Butler for a playoff run because he's a different animal, right? But I was willing to give up Garland then to try to get Jimmy Butler. Who knows what would have happened had that happened, but... And obviously,
now there's just very little wiggle room. There's almost no flexibility because of the dreaded second apron. There have been recent coaches that have been fired the following season after winning Coach of the Year. Just shows you what people think of coaches in that league. Mike Brown in Sacramento won Coach of the Year, fired the next year. Monty Williams went to the NBA Finals and then got fired the following year. So Budenholzer, twice Coach of the Year and fired the following year. So in that league where they just think anybody can just step up on the bench and move, you know, one chair aside, you know, it's certainly not unprecedented.
The thing that the Cavs have done most consistently for a decade is hire a new coach and hire the guy that was the runner up in the coaching search as the head assistant and have him, you know, Ty Lue to, you know, JB Bickerstaff to now, is it Johnny Bryant?
Yeah. So it wouldn't be crazy.
You're just blaming things. All right, Kevin in Cleveland. Hello, Kevin.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We're doing well, Kevin. Go ahead.
So I just think the whole Kenny Atkinson, I genuinely think he is a good coach. I mean, we were the best team in the East essentially the best team in the East last year, until it mattered, obviously. But I just think that's more so on the players. I think I would like to see what happens after the All-Star break. I know we kind of got a decent break there because of the NBA Cup that I know.
I'm sorry, Kevin. The what again?
The good old NBA Cup, gentlemen.
Thank you. I'm going to use it every time I can. Go ahead. Continue.
I know that they kind of got a break because they weren't necessarily in the cup. So I know they already got a break. I would like to see what happens during the All-Star break to see if they actually can, you know, change a couple things around and, I don't know, maybe flip the script a little bit and start playing like they were last year. But, again, it's not looking too great for our Cavaliers.
Things I think you can get is I think it's kind of fringe fill-in type of things, Kevin. Thank you very much for the call. Like, I know that there's been conversation again that popped up online, and I just really think it's online fodder for, like, Darius Garland. Okay, that would be a major move, obviously, but, again, because of your contract situation, your second apron, there's very little that you can actually do. And I think they're kind of stuck with it because Jared Allen, I think, would be, well, Darius Garland and Jared Allen would be the first two. Just said it earlier in the segment. Jared Allen has overperformed his contract. You're not going to get a lot of value back from that. With Darius Garland, you're making a serious conversation. You're having a serious conversation about your future. So if I try to calm down a little bit, and I say, is Evan Mobley going to come back at any level? What's his level going to be? Or are we going to be watching this the entire? Like, there's so many ways that I just don't know if you're getting out of it. What are they doing wrong that they did right last year with basically the same group? You can move DeAndre Hunter, but what are you going to get back in return that's going to make that big of an impact? Because they are taking on water big time here, Tone.
Sometimes kind of roster will just kind of, it'll kind of unfold and tell you things just based on how they play. Like last year, there was a connectivity with all of these guys that they feasted on vulnerable opponents. They knew every time they were going in the gym that they were going to kick your ass every single time. The way they played. Remember, Ty Jerome would hit those threes at the end of a Cavalanche and they would be clowning their opponents. Everybody's doing that to us now. And they're not even good teams. Bad teams are doing this to us. On how many nights? How many nights have we been down? 17 seems to be that magic.
Too many damn nights.
It's like, you know how the Browns, it was, can they score 17?
Right.
In the NBA this year for the Cavs, bad teams have had 17-point leads against us in the third and fourth quarter consistently. Now, we came back and won the Wizards game because the Wizards are, like, openly trying to lose. But it's been every single night. I think we got down 17 again last night. That just shows you, like, this team is fatally flawed. And Max Strus and Sam Merrill, yeah, they might help you win some games. That is
fatally flawed.
Yeah, that is not going to change, you know, your overall ceiling and everything. If you are on a nightly basis getting outplayed by bad teams with young players, it shows you something is toxic in the water.
I'm at a point where it's like, all right, it's the things. Here's the problem. It's not that everything hasn't been fixed. I think the big problem with the Cavs is that nothing's been fixed.
No, not only that, we're creating more problems.
Yeah. Like, because again, the most fixable thing to me for the Cavs is show up every night and play like you mean it, right?
Yeah.
And so if you do that, I think some of the other problems will go the wayside. It's not going to be perfect, but you could at least beat the Bulls. And so it does make me wonder, is there a seven-year itch there? Are we just, is this a little stall that happens with good teams or great teams or maybe just good teams? Is there some sort of fracture there? Well, Joe Vardon was on the Ken Carman show today, and he was asked about whether or not Kenny Atkinson's on the hot seat.
I think the short answer is yes, but you have to remember that the hiring was a little off. We have to remember that the front office largely had presented James Borrego as choice one, and Dan basically pushed the decision towards Kenny. I think that not everybody's on the same page right now, and losing has a lot to do with that. Considering how expensive the roster is and what it looks like right now, I mean, yeah, I think there are some hard questions.
Well, it's tough for me to say this because I also wanted Borrego over Kenny Atkinson, but...
Yeah, it's your guy.
Okay, here's what I struggle with.
Okay.
On one hand, I think it's fair to say, if you think that Kenny Atkinson has lost the locker room, why did he get fired in Brooklyn? He lost the locker room. More specifically, he lost the vets.
Well, and so... It's tough because in that same mind frame, we're like, yeah, why did he get fired? We got fired because Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were like, we're done with you.
Yes.
And it was as simple as that. And so the answer back that most people would say is, well, can we really trust what Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving had to say on this? That was Brooklyn Kyrie Irving. He might always be out to lunch, but like Brooklyn Kyrie Irving was especially out to lunch. And then Kevin Durant, who at the time seemed like he hated life and was miserable, but like maybe they had a point.
Well, I think a knock around the NBA is he can wear his, I don't want to say his act because he's a grown-ass man, but his act can wear thin with the superstar caliber players.
I mean, it's wearing thin on me, and I'm just watching these games, and I'm watching these press conferences, and I'm like, he's just intense all the damn time.
I do, so I'm offering this up.
Calm down for a second.
I'm offering this context up, okay? I also think it's hogwash. Not the fact that it might be happening, but the idea, honestly, if they were to fire Kenny Atkinson, to me, it's just fall guyism. To me, it's Kobe Altman saying, you know what? I didn't really want Kenny Atkinson. Dan kind of won out, and now I have some evidence to leverage Dan into letting me get my guy.
Well, so would they fire him with the idea that they're going to blow it up and try a different approach with the roster? Are they going to fire him with the idea that a new head coach will come in and save the day? Because if they fire him with the idea that a new head coach will come in and save the day and you run back the same roster, I think we all know where that's going. That's not going to go well.
But you know that's exactly what he's going to do.
First off, I don't know that because I feel like
he's done everything he could to not touch this roster.
Well, but again, he's done that. Kobe Altman's done that. But clearly, Dan is the one that has the say in all of this. And so, like, I don't know that he'd end up being the fall guy if Dan went to bat so hard that this was going to be the guy to begin with anyway.
I think so here's the truth. I don't know. All right, I don't know how much Dan's truly involved. Remember, when Dan was involved before he had his health issues, there was a lot of Dan would be super involved and then check out for a long period of time only to kind of hover back in. So I think to know this truthfully, you'd have to know how involved Dan is on any given moment at any given time.
Dan also gave up on Beilein awfully quick. He wanted Beilein, and then Beilein, it didn't work, and he was able to be like, I guess this sucked, and move off of that really quick.
But you and I are in agreement on the roster side of this, which is,
right.
to me, if you fire Kenny Atkinson, or if you put him on the hot seat, however you want to say it, and you don't touch the core four... to me, it's Kobe Altman playing parliamentary politics in a way that I don't think gets you any closer to winning or any sort of resolution. And I almost think it makes it really hard to find the right candidate.
It's beyond stubborn at that point.
You're
forcing what you created onto another head coach and to think that something magical can happen. And at this point, between the two bigs and the two smaller guards, it's not going to happen.
I mean, I really think we need to start talking about breaking up the core four. And I think it's really time to have that conversation. And I think it needs to be fast-tracked. They know better than I do. They know better than, you know, anybody who's not in those practices. This team is not playing like a team that wants to be together. DeAndre Hunter has completely disappeared. He has been lost. Donovan, on any given night, is giving way too much effort. I mean, meaning like having to put forth way too much effort to try and lose by 10 points to meaningless opponents like the Bulls or like the Hornets or whatever. Evan was not fully where he needed to be when he got hurt. Jared clearly did not respond well to not playing in the fourth quarter early in the season. And Darius, I don't know if it's the toe injury and coming off it. I don't know if Darius... if there's something between, but they are not playing like a team that wants to be together, that cannot be all the head coach. These guys aren't kids anymore. They're not. These are veterans. Even the young guys, even Evan and Darius, they're not. And this is where the rubber should meet the road. And this is where real management, real leadership needs to happen. Because I don't know if the best step, the best path forward is a step back for two steps forward in the future. I don't know if it's screw the future, bleep them picks. Right. Let's try and win a chance. I don't know where it is right now because it's tough to see the forest from the trees. Well, I just know this ain't it, and it's not just about injuries.
Well, and we don't know. We don't know what's fixable and what isn't. And it's like if you, I'm sure Atkinson, he loves numbers. I'm sure he's breaking it down. I'm sure he'd look at it as simply as we had a lot more three-pointers last year than what we're hitting right now. Our percentages are in the toilet when it comes to that, and we don't have the same bench production either. That's why Hunter started off the bench last night. That's the wrong way to put that. That's why he came off the bench last night, because they're trying to infuse some part of that second lineup, that second rotation, and it's just all going to hell is the point. I haven't given up on this team, but I don't know anybody that looks at this team as like a walk-in Eastern Conference title team the way that we did a few months ago.
Yeah, I will say, I think if you're Kenny Atkinson, you got to start looking over your shoulder at Johnny Bryant. There's no way that there's just no way Donovan wouldn't sign off on that. And again, I don't know what the politics of this are. I understand why people think maybe Kenny's lost this thing. That I honestly understand that he might have lost one or two guys because he is a different kind of manager.
Yeah.
At the same point, if you can't handle coaching, if you're too soft for, I think that's the problem. I don't know. It was entirely fair to talk about how tough they were, the toughness thing when they played hard every night. If you're not physically tough, if you don't play a tough brand of basketball and you don't play hard, I don't know what you do. I really don't. You need one of those two things.
Right. Well, they don't really have an identity right now.
Well, but you should. And that's not on Kenny Atkinson.
This is not year one of this whole thing. Like, they should have an idea. They don't really have an identity
and
right now.
I'm uncomfortable to some level with this because I don't think Kobe Altman is a bad GM. Far from it. I think he's proven by building this team that this is a guy who can build teams. He can evaluate talent and we can bring them in. I don't know if he knows how to construct a roster, but I don't think Kobe's a problem unless he's looking at Kenny Atkin and saying, well, if I throw you over the board, right now, I can buy another year for this roster. I think that's back-asswards thinking. And there's a part of me that almost refuses to think that Kobe's that stubborn or
I know, whatever. But I don't know why he'd feel the need to go to bat for Atkinson at this point either, though. I just don't. Like, you've gone backwards this year. You've gone in the worst direction. I don't know. And you know, it's funny, in the offseason, everyone's like, oh, losing Jordan Ott, that's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a major deal. And maybe we just didn't pay enough attention to that. Maybe he is one of those guys that just had everyone together. There's a reason why he got the Suns head coaching job. I don't know. But Atkinson right now clearly is missing out on a lot.
Joe Vardon said that he does think Kenny Atkinson's seat is warm at the moment. Should it be? Let's go with Ron and Willoughby. Ron, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, buddy. What you got for us?
Well, this is my issue, and this I think this is what, in regards to Kelly, is nobody has talked about. The fact is, though, I blame it on Donovan Mitchell and on Darius Garland. The reason why is because they have an all-star mindset set instead of a championship mindset. You have two ball-dominated guards, and the fact is, though, they can get their shot at any time. My whole thing is that you have to get the big men involved, meaning Mobley and Allen, because everybody keeps trying to say to trade Allen. You don't trade Allen. What you do is you get those guys involved early so the defense can go, so the defense that they're playing against can, you know, they can work on the defensive side in regards to guarding those guys, getting those guys their point totals up. And the fact is, so you get your point totals down, meaning the two guards, and that way you have a team-minded set to where you're playing championship ball instead of all-star team ball. If that makes sense, what I'm saying. So I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Ron, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
By the way, it's a very real moment, by the way, because we all do it constantly.
You're like, we do it on the show. We're pretty honest about it.
But I don't really know if that made sense.
I don't know. This is where it gets really tough. Are Darius and Donovan thinking all-star basketball? Or is this just kind of their style of play and this roster doesn't fit together? I really do struggle. I don't think it's a coincidence that no matter where they've had their failures and where they've had their success, all roads lead back to this roster doesn't fit well together.
It's the same thing we've been arguing about for years. I mean, the conversation hasn't shifted. It's just whether or not people want to pay attention to it. We've been arguing for years about the idea that two bigs and two small guards can't possibly work. And then we've also been arguing about the idea that they have no jerks on this team.
Well, and I think, like, I think back to Evan in the Indiana series, where Evan started kind of taking over in the second half of, I can't remember which game it was, but Evan got them back into a game. And then as soon as they were back into a game, it was Donovan and Darius jacking up a lot of ill-advised.
First half of game five.
It was a lot of ill-advised threes, yeah. And that's... That curtailed that series pretty quickly.
Dominated that first half, and he was touching. He had all sorts of different opportunities and looks. And then in the second half of the game, Donovan and Darius decided that it was their turn, and that was
like,
it.
Do I wonder if Evan has that dog in him? Yes, I think it's fair 5 years into to wonder that. I also think that's got to be encouraged. And at no point has this ever been his team. His first year here was Darius's team. Then it became Darius and Donovan's team, mostly Donovan's team. He's been the Alfred, to quote, paraphrase Fedor, his whole career. There's got to be, you got to lay out for him to be able to do that. And I think Donovan wants to. I think Darius wants to. I don't think they know how to. And I think that plus the age timelines confuses us even more.
They're in a bad spot. There's no denying it. I don't think it's beyond redeemable either, though. I do think, again, we're panicking because it's December. We got a lot of time left in the season, but it just feels like we're having more issues than we're having problems.
216-474-0092. What is it with Coach of the Year in this town? Is Kenny Atkinson on the hot seat?
Stephen Vogt is more than fine.
Not for now. Don, BP, and Thomas, you guys stick there. We'll continue talking about what the Cavs are missing in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Last year, 15 straight wins to start the season. Cavaliers were the talk of the NBA. Kenny Atkinson, the most brilliant coach ever to coach on the NBA sidelines. By the way, I like Kenny, and I thought he did a great job. And I think he's a really good coach. He's a really good coach now, even though the team is struggling. So it's not coaching. But I wonder, there are a lot of things here, and they're not playing well now. Okay, you have injuries. Is that an excuse or is that a fact? Is that what this is all about? Are they a team that decided, you know, everything we did early last year, that we just kicked everybody's, you know what? And then we got to the playoffs and we weren't there and we didn't have it. So this year we're just going to like go... Somebody's going to sit tonight. Somebody's injured. Maybe you're out a couple of weeks. Just sit down. Don't worry about it. And we're going to really get this thing going after the All-Star break. And is that okay? And is that a way to do it? Because last year, kicking everybody's, you know what, Dan, early on didn't do you anything because you got knocked out in the second round again. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there are a lot of different thoughts that can go into what's going on with the Cavaliers right now. And I don't know which one is right.
Donovan Mitchell looks like a guy right now who is like, I'm giving you everything I have in the tank, and we are still somehow coming up short. And that's the kind of stuff that I look at and circle, because we all know wear and tear typically leads to injuries, and we ran into a playoff situation last year where he was dealing with a lower leg injury during the playoffs. And so I don't love the idea of having to ride Donovan Mitchell to get you into the playoffs and then go from there. It should be a team aspect to win you these games, and it hasn't been. And especially in these fourth quarters, it's really just turning into, okay, give the ball to Donovan Mitchell.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say,
get the hell out of the way.
You're riding Donovan Mitchell to get regular season wins.
Yeah. You can't live that life. That's not a life that says playoff success.
I agree with you completely. Charlie's in Avon Lake. Charlie, welcome. 216-474-0092.
All right, Charlie. Called.
Good morning, fellas. Well, So my name is Dr. Charlie. That's what I go by. And I prescribed a lot of prescriptions to fix this problem that they got. You see, what they have right now, which a lot of people are starting to get, especially the people from Cleveland, is it's called Cleveland Brown Syndrome, okay? And the prescription I can actually get to you guys, you can go get well, is just leave the whole town. You got to get up out of Cleveland.
All right, Charlie, what? Thanks. We're not playing along, Charlie.
Yeah, yeah, that one baffled me.
Yeah, we're not playing along, but we will entertain the mayor. Ken's in Brooklyn. Hi, Ken.
Mr. Mayor?
Good morning. I have a lot to get to, Jeff, okay? And then
State of the
let
Union.
Me have the floor, okay?
Welcome
first
to the Ken
all,
Show.
First of all, thank you. First of all, okay, I'll accept injuries, all right? I'll accept injuries, but I'm not going to accept no heart, all right? Get your butt out there and play, and when the ball goes up, that's like clocking time, okay? Like you, me and you and everybody else in America has to be at work at a certain time. And it's time to get going when that ball goes in the air. And they're not doing that. So here's the deal. They're jacking up threes. They're not even shooting threes. They're jacking them up. They're not following through on their shots. All right? They're short-arming the ball. And then what happens is the teams now, they're not even shooting. They're shooting like 30-some percent from three. And what's happening is teams know this, and they're sending guys on runouts. Every team is doing this, and they know that because the Cavs aren't shooting threes well, and they got layups. They're basically basket hanging, okay? And, you know, this is something that I said last year. You guys know who I wanted the Cavs to pick. I wanted them to find a way to go get the kid from Creighton. Now, he ain't lighting the world on fire. He's not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, okay, or Shaq, but this kid's playing. And what they did is, instead of going out there and getting a big, as Coach Luke would say, got to have the bigs, they got another small guard. I don't care how he's playing. They needed a big, and Jeff, you brought it up. This team is not big right now, and they're not using DeAndre Hunter right. They're just not doing things the way they're supposed to.
Ken,
and the other thing
this
I want to remind everybody about, the Cavs have a swap deal for the Jazz's pick this year.
Right.
Okay? These people...
It's your number two of the Donovan Mitchell payout.
Something like that, yeah.
Right. Here's the thing, guys. We have a team that thinks they can just roll the ball out, and right now they still have a target on their back because how they played last year, and they don't get it. Please, even Garrity after a halftime the other day said, we're shooting too many threes. What do? They're right back shooting threes.
Ken, how about this? And Ken, thank you, bud. Right now the Cavaliers are second in the NBA in three-point attempts. So they were first in three-point attempts per game.
Oh, but that's...
They're 0.1 behind the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, per game. Okay.
Per game.
All right.
Warriors are putting up 44 threes per game. Cavs are right there, 43.9.
I was going to say, they're first in overall attempts.
And in percentage, this just baffles me. They're 30th.
Not good, Bob.
They're 30th in percentage. So in other words, we're not doing something well, so let's do more of it. That's mind-boggling to me. And that now, that does come down to coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Right now, the Cavaliers are making 33.8% of their threes, 30th in the NBA. The only team shooting worse behind the line, Portland and Indiana. And yet the Cavs are putting up the second most threes per game. That's one of those things that you look at it, a junior high coach could say, we're not a good three-point shooting team, so let's not shoot a lot of threes. And what can set up three-point shooting? Getting the ball inside a little bit and getting a little more space out there for your shooters. So something clearly needs to be tweaked there.
Get to the basket. I mean, it's
simple.
That's how you start finding these ways, because you get to the basket, then you get to the line, then you start seeing the ball go in, and then you can start seeing the three-pointers start to go in, because you need this, just get that flow going, and it can't just be, okay, Donovan Mitchell, walk into another 25-footer. Save us, Donovan Mitchell. You're my only hope. Like, that's truly what the fourth quarter offense has turned into. It's, okay, start hitting, step back three, start hitting where you walk up the floor and then hit the three from 28 feet. Just that's not going to cut it. You have to find offense in other places.
Thomas is in Shaker. Hello, Thomas.
How are you, Thomas?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Dan.
Dan, you're good, buddy. I understand.
Dan, I'm sorry, man. Life is good. It's fine. You're funny, dude. You're cracking me up all the time. Jeff, watching Donovan, it reminds me of the days when you used to cover the Cavs back in like the early 2000s. When you have LeBron James kind of like just taking over the game and winning games for us single-handedly, but he looked gassed at the end of the game. That's why I feel like watching Donovan Mitchell. I'm just screaming at television, man, get this man some help.
So in other words, LeBron's first 7 years here, Thomas.
Yep. The first go-around. And don't get me wrong, I do understand the cap situation with the second apron and everything, but honestly, Jeff, and I hate saying this, I really like Garland, but I desperately just think to myself, man, I really want to trade this kid. Like, and like, it's nothing against him, but, you know, he's limping out there, and it's just unfortunate that, you know, we're trying to win a championship this year. This is a golden opportunity for us to win a championship, and we're worried about Darius Garland's health, and I'm like, I just can't wait for this kid to be right for Donovan Mitchell. I want to give Donovan Mitchell some help. I desperately want to trade Darius Garland. I like Jalen Tyson, by the way. That's my other point. Thank you.
I do, too. Thomas, thank you very much. See, and Dano, I have defended Darius.
So have I.
Since he got to the league. His rookie year wasn't good. Everybody's screaming, Cavs wasted a pick. And I said, nope, you got to give him time. It's not that he can't play. He's a really good player. I mean, he's a really good NBA player. It gets back to, and it's not even a condemnation of anything that's going on here. It's this. The NBA is the league to trade superstars like they swap out shoes. It happens all the time. And if it doesn't work, teams change. I'm wondering, this is year number four of Donovan Mitchell here. How much more of a sample size do you need to think that maybe something needs to be done here? To not just a little tweak. I'll call DeAndre Hunter coming in last year a tweak. You going to roll with this for another year here? Because you're not going to roll with it for a fifth year. If the Cavs don't get out of the second round of the playoffs, they're not going to roll with it for a fifth year. Do you do it now? Do you do it at the trade deadline? Do you do something?
The problem is, if you look around the league, there are almost more point guards than there are teams.
That might be true.
Which is part of your problem. Is if you start looking around all over the place, and especially guys who are 6 foot, 6'1", somewhere in between there, the game of musical chairs is coming to a close, and there are really no chairs open. There are not many teams that you can point to right now and say, that team needs a point guard. The San Antonio Spurs were probably the last one we all had circle, and they went and made the move for De'Aaron Fox. And so that shut the door on them needing another point
guard. And they developed Stephon Castle
who's
been
awesome.
Outstanding.
Yeah,
who's second been year outstanding. Guy.
But that's the issue you're in the middle of with Darius Garland right now, is that you're paying him, which you should have, because he is a really good player and he makes your team better.
Well, and guys like Darius get paid in the NBA.
Right.
Guys of his caliber get paid.
He's really good. But now you're looking around going, okay, we might need to trade this guy. Well, Atlanta's looking at you going as well, going, well, we might need to trade Trae Young. And you've got the Hornets looking around going, well, we might want to move on from LaMelo Ball. I mean, the point guard market might be the only market that's truly saturated right now. And I don't know where the value is to get rid of Darius Garland for something that would be better for Darius Garland. Oh, and you can't make that move unless you bring in somebody who makes less money than Darius Garland does.
Which if you put all that together, Dan, is this. Do they think they need to just bust it up and take a different approach?
But you're not,
because the only way you trade Darius is if you think you need to bust it up, because if you can't bring back a guy making the same kind of money, you might not be getting the same kind of player.
Exactly.
Which means you're just giving it a completely different look, where maybe you start Lonzo Ball, even though you don't want to play him too many minutes because his knees are, you know, somebody else's.
Held together with duct tape, chewing gum, and twine.
And somebody else's ligaments.
Yeah.
And Porter gives you the exact same deal. Okay. Scrappy as you know what, but he's a 6'1 guard.
Yeah.
He's probably best suited coming off the bench for energy.
Yeah, makes sense.
Play Jalen Tyson at point guard? Could you move Donovan and put the ball in his hands?
I love that idea.
Exactly. That's what That's what they're dealing with right now. And because they're 15-13 and have lost, is it 7 of their last 10 games? Everybody's thinking it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Maybe it will. But I think it screams for patience and maybe a bold move.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.